Okay, we're ready. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we're second paragraph here. Now, the strength is also yours, okay? We're waiting to win. We're in the battle. You have to understand God has called you to live at this time. And one of the most important things is this. Joan of Arc was 16 years old. She led a battle. She led an army and defeated another army. 16 years old. That's in an impossibility. She said, I am not afraid. I was born for this time. And then she says, God is with me. That has to be your battle cry as well. So he says, now their strength is also yours. Therefore, you pray. Pray your round in the midst to put it in order for battle. Okay, your round, you can buy the rounds. I think there's a list in the back where you can buy them. Just so that you know, everything that's printed is printed at cost. Nobody's there to make money. It's to give this free gift to as many as we can. When you pray the rounds, at first it'll sound repetitive. But what happens is, you know, one guy said to me, how many times do you have to say I love you? I said, how many times do you say that to your wife? Is it just on the day of the wedding? It's always there. It's always I love you. That's what husband and wife is about. It's falling in love. So Jesus says this, let your continuous asking for the kingdom of the supreme fiat, call all creation to stand at attention. See, as children of God, you have the right to call to attention. Okay. I gave a talk in Dallas, I think in the 90s, early 90s. And this lady said, well, I have trouble with wasps. I said, well, tell them to leave. And she said, ah, ha, ha. So she told them to leave, and she came back the next time and she said, you're not going to believe this. They all left. I said, you have to understand what God is going to bring you to is what Adam was doing. Adam could say to the plants, grow. He could say to the weather, be sunny. He could say to the weather, rain. See, Adam was the king of the earth. We're supposed to, again, be kings and queens of the earth. And that's why it says, call all creation to stand at attention. You're going to have power that it's not your power. It's the power that God breathed into Adam. Wait till you see that creation. I mean, I don't know how many times we've had to go someplace and it was thunder and lightning. I say, Lord, you know, could you make it sunny, please? Thank you. Go there and it's sunny. It's like even hurricanes, wind. And I said to the Lord, help, you know, and the wind would stop. You have to understand we're not at the call of weather. We are supposed to tell weather to stand, be in attention. The Lord in me is speaking to you. You're going to see things that are going to astonish you. That's why I'm saying you haven't seen anything yet about the miracles that are coming. And what's going to come is going to be glorious. It really is. So my will, moving within it, places all of its acts in royal office in order to give and to win its kingdom in the midst of creatures. Therefore, it is my volition itself that fights. It is the wages battles. It wages the battles with my very divine will for the triumph of its kingdom. So your fight is animated by it. And that is sufficient and irresistible strength in order to win. Therefore, go ahead and fight, for you shall win. Don't give up. Don't be negative. They had this one lady come to talk to me the other day, and this is going on, and that's going on, and this is going on. I said, where's your positive? See, if you're positive, you'll bring positive. Why? The evil one flees. But if you're negative, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, doubting, you're feeding demons. You're keeping the demons alive in you. You got to stop it. Think positive. Think positive. Go ahead and fight, for you shall win. And besides, fight in order to win the kingdom of the supreme fiat is the holiest fight that can exist. God is going to win. It is the most just, the most rightful battle that can be fought. Now, if you're eating anything, we have got communion in an hour, so wolf it down real quick. Don't choke. Your coffee, everything, just make sure that you want to fast at least an hour before communion. And I know some say it's an hour before Mass. Usually that's what it is normally, because when you drive somewhere, it's usually about an hour before you get there. So it's normally an hour before communion, some priests have told me. So I fight when I manifest to you, Louisa, the knowledges. So he's fighting with us. He's trying to get it in our pea brains that God is going to do this. You're not going to do it. When the angel came to the Blessed Mother, the angel said to Mary, "You're going to be the mother of God." She goes, "How can it be?" She says, I've made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother of God?" And the angel said, "It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit." She said, "Let it be done as you say." Yes. Our response is never to doubt. It's when the Lord is speaking constantly. You should have a spiritual director. It should be a priest who can help you get through this, because there are certain things that the devil tries to frighten you with. There's three voices. There's the voice of the devil, which is, "You're nothing but garbage. You're nothing but sickening to God. You're nothing but a poor, poor one." So then there's the Lord's voice. "You're my child. You're my loved one. You're my beloved. Come to me. I will take care of everything." And then there's our voice. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I do this? So you've got to hear Jesus' voice. It's always positive. The negative voice is always the evil one. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to it. It's not worth it. So a new era is coming. A new and divine way of calling is coming. And Jesus says, "I fight when I manifest you the knowledges about my eternal fiat." So each saying, each word, each knowledge, each truth, each simile about it is one fight, one battle that I make with you. He's making it with us. He's trying to conquer us. You know, don't be negative. "I'm going to take care of you," Jesus says. "Oh, yes, there's people sick. There's people suffering. I'm going to take care of it. I am their Lord. I am their God. I am their master. I am their king. I will take care of them. I know what they need. I know what they need that you don't know what they need." See, the Lord had to break my back twice. I should be this tall, but I'm only this tall. And it was two times that I wasn't wearing my scapula. God knew what was needed for me. You know, break it again. You know, once was enough. But that, so you let the Lord be the Lord. He will tell you. If you're suffering, everybody's suffering. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, everybody's suffering. No, not as much as I am. No, you have to understand, I suffer. No, I mean, come on, everybody's suffering. Everybody has been given a cross. I had a friend of mine who was in a mental institution for 42 years, and that was in 1973 when they released all the mental patients, and they took her IQ and she was normal. And I was complaining to her, and she said, "You know, if you put your cross in a pile and go to any cross that's there, for a whole day, you're free of your cross, and then go back and pick up any cross you want." So you would pick up your own cross. She says, "I don't want your cross. And you don't want my cross. Our cross is our life," she said. Now, here's a girl that's been in the mental institution for 42 years. She had cerebral palsy. She was deformed. People ran from her. The children would say, "Monster." She went through a horrible time, but she knew Jesus loved her. And that's what we have to get to, that point of understanding. Yes, we have sufferings. Yes, we have difficulties, but everybody does. And the person next to you has more suffering than you. I remember I went to a fire during in the hospital, a fire section, we call it a burn section, burn unit. And there was a little person there. Couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. Everything was gone. Just her teeth. Everything. Suffering is redemptive. There's more people dying in hospitals and nursing homes now because, oh, I didn't want my patient to suffer. Suffering is redemptive. You're either going to suffer here or you're going to be burning in purgatory for the sins that you haven't made full. Your debt isn't done. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And it was, the debt is paid. See, God has done everything and he needs us to cooperate. And yes, we're going to suffer. I mean, look at Christ crucified. That is suffering. And Jesus said, I took everybody's death. I died for everyone. I suffered for everyone. So it'd be easier for them to die. We're going to die. This body has to be, this body is food for worms. But the glorified body that's coming, and it's close, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. So the fight, when I fight, I manifest to you the knowledge is the truths about my eternal fiat. So each saying, each word, each knowledge, each simile about is one fight, one battle that I make with you in order to win your human will. Our human will is miserable. Our human will is when we go to confession. That's us. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out of the orange? Orange juice. When you squeeze a human, what comes out of it? Screaming, anger, you know, misery. That's what they're filled with. When Jesus was squeezed on the cross, what came out of him was forgiving us. So God's going to put us to the test. He wants to see who we are. He wants us to see who we are. That's the illumination of conscience. And if you want to know what the illumination of conscience is, it's the book of heaven. Read the book of heaven and you will begin to understand who we are and who God is. That's the illumination of conscience. God is going to show us. He has to show us. He says, that's the best thing I could do for humanity is show them who they are and who I am, Jesus says. He says, your human will, each saying, each truth is in order to win your human will, to put it in this place created by us, triune God, call it almost by dint of fighting in order that the kingdom, my divine will, has as I do with it, you in order to subdue your human will, not to give life to your human will anymore, not to give life to misery. I start it in the midst of creatures. I fight with you when I teach you the way that you must follow, what you must do in order to live in my kingdom, and the happiness, the joys that you shall possess. In sum, I fight by dint of my knowledges that are contained. I fight by dint of love, by most touching examples, in such a way that you cannot resist my fight. He says, I fight by means of promises, of happiness, of joys without end. My fight is persistent, nor do I ever become tired. But to win what? To win your human will, your misery, no more misery. It's nailed to the cross with Jesus. In yours, who shall recognize me in order to live in my kingdom. And you fight with me when you receive my knowledges. By placing them in order of your soul, you form the kingdom of my supreme fiat within you. And fighting with me, with Jesus, you try to win my kingdom. Each one of your acts done in my divine will is a fight that you make with me, not against Jesus. Each round you pray, although created through all created things, to unite yourself to all the acts that my divine will does in all creation. You call all creation to wage war, to wage battle, in order to win my kingdom. We're fighting with Jesus. He wants this kingdom, but he wants us to be with him. Moving my very divine will, dominating again, in all created things, so as to wage battle on my divine will itself in order to establish its kingdom. There has never been conquest of the kingdom without battle. And if there have been, they have not been lasting ones. Your fight with me, when investing everything I did and suffered of my most holy humanity, that is my tears, my most intimate pains, my prayers, my steps, my words, and even the drops of my blood, you impress on them your I love you. For each one of my acts, you ask for the coming of the kingdom. So it's not, it's always one with Jesus. Jesus beat in my heart beating. It's not my heart beating anymore. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. It's not me breathing anymore. Jesus, walk in my walking. I am echoing Jesus's acts. I'm echoing being in his likeness. This is what God is asking. Not your likeness. You're nobody. You're nothing. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. God is everything. God is holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And he loves us to death. And he's asking us to allow him to reign in us. His pains, his prayers, his steps, his words, his tears, and even the drops of his blood. And you impress in them your I love you, which is God in us. For each one of my acts, you ask for the coming of the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Who can tell you the fight you make with me? You move my very acts to wage battle on me, and I may surrender, and I may grant you my kingdom. Therefore, I fight with you, united with you, and you fight united with me. This fight is necessary to you in order to win my kingdom, and to me in order to win your human will, and to begin the battle in the midst of creatures. So as to establish the kingdom, my supreme will, I have my own will, my own divine will, and all of its very power and strength and immensity in order to win. Luisa, you, now he's talking to us too, you have my will itself at your disposal, all creation and all the goods that I did in redemption, in order to launch a formidable army to wage battle and to win the kingdom of the supreme fiat. See, each word that you write, each word that we read, is also a fight that you make with me, united with me, one more soldier that joins the divine army. It's going to defeat the evil one. He's not going to win. Either we're with Jesus or we're not. And he's asking us, do you want to be part of my army that must win the kingdom of my divine will? Therefore, be attentive, my daughter, for these are times of fighting. And it is necessary to use all means in order to win. 5:21, 3:5, 19:27. My daughter, do not fear. I am here with you. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Take a breath. That's Jesus. He takes us at our word. I am with you. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. That's Jesus's heart beating. I am with you. Emmanuel, I am with you. God is with you. What I want is that you never go out of my divine will, and that you continue your acts always without ever moving from the boundaries of its kingdom of the supreme fiat. And this shall give you the firmness that shall make you be like your creator, to be like God. It's not to be God. For once he has done an act, that act is a continuous life. When you say in the divine will, I love you, Jesus, that I love you in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, is eternal. 100 million trillion years from now, that I love you is still living. With God, nothing dies. And once we are one with God, what God has planned is the I love you is as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the I love you, sorry, the I love you is and being in awe of God for all eternity, the eternal awe of God. We're just going to sit there going, ah, oh, you are so beautiful. You are so holy. You are so perfect. You are so loving. You are so God that for all eternity, we're just going to, it's going to take our breath away. See, God wants us to fall in love with him. That's why he created us, to enjoy the beatific vision. And this shall give you the firmness that shall make you be like your God. For once he has done an act, that act has continuous life without ever ceasing. An act ever continuous is only of God, who suffers no interruptions in his acts. My daughter, firmness is the divine nature. Firmness is a divine quality. It is the right that we, triune God, give participation and quality of divine nature to the soul, who must be our daughter of our divine will, and who must live in our kingdom. That's us. So you're continuing your acts in the divine will without ever interrupting them reveals that you are already in possession of the divine quality of God's firmness. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity, which the priest does every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water to the chalice and saying, may we share in the divinity of Christ. My daughter, my holy humanity came upon earth as though in the middle of the times in order to reunite the past. And when the fullness of my divine will reigned in Adam, in creation, everything was of its own. Everything was its own. Everything had, it had its kingdom, its operator and divine life. And I, Jesus, enclosed within me this fullness of my divine will, binding those in the presence, rose in the present. First, I made myself the model in order to form the remedies that were needed, the helps and the teachings that were necessary. So he came to earth to do this in order to heal us. And then I bound the posterity to the fullness of the divine will that reigned in the first times in creation. So he goes back to image of God as Adam had. So my coming upon earth was a bond of reunion of times. It was a remedy in order to form this bond, so that the kingdom of the divine fiat might return into the midst of creatures. It was a model made for everyone, so that modeling themselves, they might be tied with the bonds formed by me, Jesus. And this is why, before speaking to you about my divine will, I spoke to you about my coming upon earth, of what I did and what I suffered. That's what we've done for the last 2,000 years. And then I spoke to you about my divine will, and that's what God is doing with us now. It was bonds that I formed in you. And in these bonds, I formed the kingdom of my divine will. As the sign of this, there are many knowledges I have manifested to you about it. Its sorrows, because it does not reign with all its fullness yet in the midst of creatures. And the goods it promises to the children, us, of its kingdom. Volume 21, 3:10, 19:27. I thought to myself, do we have the right to this kingdom of the divine will? And my sweet Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter, you must know that before sinning, Adam did his acts in the divine fiat. This meant that the Trinity had given him possession of this kingdom. Because in order to possess a kingdom, it takes one who forms it, one who gives it, and one who receives it. The divinity formed it and gave it. Man, Adam, received it. So in his first period of creation, Adam possessed this kingdom of the supreme fiat. And since he was the head of all the human generations, all humanity received the right to this possession. But by withdrawing from my divine will, Adam lost the possession of this kingdom, because by doing his own human will, he placed himself as though in the state of war against the eternal fiat and poor one, not having enough strength to fight, nor an army well-equipped to be able to wage war on a will so holy that possessed an invincible strength, an affordable, formidable army. He was defeated and lost the kingdom he had been given by us, triune God. More so, since the strength he possessed before our will was our own, as we had given him also our own army at his disposal, but as he sinned, the strength renewed to our source came back to us, God, and the army withdrew from Adam, placing itself at our disposal. However, all this did not take away from his descendants the right to reconquer the kingdom of my divine will. So Jesus is saying, Adam lost it, but it belongs to us. It is our right to have the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. God's going to do it. So he says, it happens to a king who loses his kingdom in war. Can there not be a chance that one of his children with another war may reunite the kingdom of his father that once was his? More so, since I, the divine conqueror, came upon earth to make up for the losses of Adam and find anyone, that's us, who would receive this kingdom again, I would give him back the strength, placing my army at his disposal once again in order to maintain its order, its decorum, its glory. And what is this army? It is the whole of creation, in which more than a marvelous and formidable army, the life of my divine will is bilocated in each created thing, in order to maintain the life of this kingdom. That's why we have to learn to pray the rounds. And there's a form back there where you can get the rounds. And again, we're not making any money. It's to print them at cost. So, I mean, if you printed up everything that we had, I think you'd go broke. I mean, I remember way back when, all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. There was nothing. And we'd go, oh, let's read this. All we had was just little pieces of paper. It was great. But now it's even better because we got everything. Okay. Only if man saw the whole invincible army of creation disappear, then he would lose the hope to possess this kingdom again. And then one could say, God has withdrawn his will from the face of the earth, and that vivified, embellished, and enriched it. And there is no more hope that the kingdom may be in our possession. But as long as creation exists, it is a matter of time in order to find those souls who want to receive the kingdom. That's us. And besides, if there were no hope to possess this kingdom of the divine fiat, it would not have been necessary that I manifest to you, Louisa, so many knowledges, so many truths, so many lessons about it, either its will that wants to reign or its sorrow because it does not reign. When something cannot be realized, it is useless to talk about it. Therefore, I, God, would have no interest in saying so many things that regard my divine will, so my mere speaking about it is a sign that I want it to be possessed once again. Now, Jesus called the book of heaven the gospel of the kingdom. And if you read Matthew 24, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom's not coming. We are living in the most exciting times in the world. Volume 21. 3:16-19:27. I was thinking about the supreme fiat and the way how this kingdom may come and be realized. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, as your Jesus was conceived, I tied again the kingdom of my divine will with humanity. It was necessary for it to take absolute dominion of my holy humanity and to have its life free and all of my acts to be able to lay its kingdom as it wanted within my holy humanity. So Jesus has done everything. So everything I did, the works, the prayers, the breathing, the heartbeat, the sufferings, were bonds and retyings between the kingdom of my fiat and humanity. I represented the new Adam, who not only was to give the remedies in order to save them, but it was also to redo and to restore that which old Adam had lost. And this is why it was necessary for me to take on human nature, to be able to enclose within it what humanity had lost, and through me, Jesus, he says, give it back again to humanity. He's done everything. It was justice that my divine will have a human nature at its disposal, and it would oppose itself in nothing so as to be able to lay its kingdom once again in the midst of creatures. So more so, since the human nature had taken away from it its rights to reign, so another one was needed that would return its rights to it. Therefore, my coming upon earth was not for redemption alone. On the contrary, the primary purpose was to form the kingdom of my divine will within my holy humanity in order to give it back to humanity. And if it were not so, my coming upon earth would have been an incomplete work, unworthy of a God, as no less I would not have been able to restore the work of creation, the order with which it came out from our creative hands, as our divine will was to reign in everything. So now, so that these retyings that my holy humanity formed between the kingdom of my divine will and humanity might have validity, life, and recognition, it was necessary that I now choose one creature, Louisa, who, being entrusted with a special office of making known this kingdom my divine will, would bind herself to these retyings that my divine will had formed with my holy humanity, receiving the power to transmit these retyings of my kingdom to the other people, the other creatures. This is why I remain in the depth of your soul, Louisa, maintaining the life of my supreme fiat to bind these retyings and to lay its kingdom in them. That's what's happening. And I speak to you so much about it. as I have not done with anyone else until now. Therefore, be attentive. You know where that be attentive comes from? Gideon. God said to Gideon, don't use the 300,000, don't use the 30,000, don't use the 3,000. Use the 300 that drink like dogs. Why? Dogs are attentive. They don't, when you drink, a human drinks like this, not looking. Dogs are lapping up water, looking around. Be attentive. Be attentive of what we're going through now. What's happening in Israel now, it's the beginning. You have to understand. The evil one wants to destroy everyone and everything because he knows he's lost. He knows she's going to crush his head. He knows it. Time is over. The 6,000 years is over. We've entered the 7,000th year. What did John Paul II always say? Get ready for the glory of the church. Get ready for the new springtime of mankind. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's really, really, really wonderful. Be attentive, Jesus says to us, because this is about the greatest thing, to restore the order of creation between creator and humanity. God and man is being restored. Not only this, but it was necessary that I first choose Louisa, one creature who would live in the divine will and the divine fiat, in order to receive from Louisa's universal acts, these universal acts that Jesus has done, she is now doing, breathing, heart beating, walking, talking, gazing, these universal acts, because my will is universal. Or in other words, my will is Catholic. It is present everywhere. There is no creature that does not receive its life. By withdrawing from my divine will, Adam rejected the universal good, the Catholic good. He took away from God the universal glory, the Catholic glory, the adoration and love. Now, in order to give it back, see, this is why everything seems to be falling apart. God's putting everything in order. In your family, in your friends, with your neighbors, all your loved ones, God is putting everything in order, but he needs your prayer, not your misery. We pray with confidence in God. We pray with trust in God. Our hope, Christian hope, is certitude. We are certain God is going to do this. What does he say to St. Faustina? The final devotion that I give my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my master, you're my king, you're my all. We trust in him, we believe in him, we have confidence in him. Now, in order to give back this kingdom, these universal goods, these Catholic goods, first he wanted by right Louisa, a soul, a human, born of original sin, to whom, as she lives in this fiat, he may communicate this universal act to her, this Catholic life to her. And as she loves, adores, glorifies, and prays, she may constitute herself together with his very divine will, universal love for everyone, adoration and glory for each one, and diffusing her prayer as if each one were praying, like in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. She prays in a universal way that the kingdom of the divine fiat may come into the midst of humanity. Read the last chapter of Vine 24. The last paragraph. Read the last chapter in Vine 24. Everyone's going to have this universal life. God didn't produce many lives so that people can have what they wanted. He breathed into Adam the universal life. This is why it's so great to be Catholic. Therefore, to you, Louisa, it has been given to unite everyone, to embrace everyone, so that finding everyone and everything in you, Louisa, just as everything is found in my holy divine will, you, Louisa, may place harmony among them, that they may exchange the kiss of peace. Jesus calls heaven the wedding feast, the kiss of peace. And my kingdom shall be restored in the midst of humanity. Here then is the necessity of these knowledges, of these wonders of my divine fiat, to dispose humanity, to attract humanity, to desire, to want, to long for this kingdom and the goods that are in it, the infinite goods of God, as well as the necessity that I first choose you, Louisa, the one creature born of original sin, who living in my divine will with her universal acts, that my will itself administers to her, that our divine acts may impetrate the kingdom of my divine fiat for all of humanity. It's Jesus in us that's doing it. I can't do a divine act. Jesus can. So when I say, Jesus, breathe in my dream, breathing, beat in my heart beating, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing, God takes us at our word, and he's there. How much peace, how much joy, how much happiness, knowing God is there. But as soon as I become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, feeding the demons, Jesus says, I can't stay there. That's not me. I am peace. I am joy. I am happiness. So he says to us, I want you to learn how to get out of your misery, the fallen nature, and enter into the divine nature of Jesus and Mary. That drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. That's what God's waiting for us. He wants to let us share in divinity. And it's not here yet. It's coming, though. That which can be done between two, one on one, in the secrecy of the sorrow, in the secrecy of the love of two beings who love each other and who want the same good, cannot be done with many. This is why, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you're not reading a book. You're falling in love with Jesus. You are looking at God in the monstrance. If he revealed himself, this body would die of ecstasy. Because it can't. This body can't endure the beauty of God. He is so beautiful. He is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so loving. But he's asking us, do you want to get close to me? And we go, yes. He goes, then stay and spend time with me. And that's one of the things he does in the divine will. He's asking us to spend time with him, to fall in love with him. A secret sorrow, a secret love of your Jesus, united with a soul whom I choose. Jesus is doing this, not us. Has such power, I give. And she, Louisa, impetrates what is needed. The prayer is being answered. The secret between me and you, Louisa, has matured, and many knowledges I have given you about my kingdom of my divine fiat has made your many acts rise again in it. My daughter, a sorrow of mine poured out in the secrecy of the heart of the one who loves me has the virtue of changing justice into mercy. This is why the final devotion, Jesus, I trust in you, your divine mercy. My bitterness changed into sweetnesses. And then after I trusted you, Louisa, arranging everything together with you, Louisa, I called my priest, giving them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat, the many knowledges about my supreme fiat, how I call everyone that they may come into my kingdom to get out of the prison of their exile, of the exile of the human will, to take possession, listen to this, of the lost goods that Adam lost, so as to live no longer unhappy, to live no longer as slaves of the human will, but happy and free of in my most holy divine will. And just as the secret has the virtue of allowing to tell us each other heart to heart the many wonderful manifestations about the eternal fiat, as this long secret of ours comes out, it shall have such impact on people that amazed, they themselves shall pray with sighs, if that's the Holy Spirit, that my kingdom may come to put an end to all their evils. When the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven, when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, when the devil is now banished from earth, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. This is what's coming. We should be filled with joy, filled with happiness. We should be focused on how great our God is, that he has predestined us to live at this time, to witness what he is going to do. Psalm 21, 8, 4, 8, 19, 27. When he was created, Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of my kingdom. Abraham, listen to this, Abraham was symbol of the privileges and heroism of the children of my will, calling Abraham to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, making Abraham the owner of that land, a land so fecund and as to be enviable and aspired to by all the other nations. Everything was symbol of what I would do with them, the children of my will. Jacob was another symbol of them. In fact, the 12 tribes of Israel would descend from him, and from their midst, the future Redeemer was to be born, who was to bind again the children of the kingdom, divine fiat of the to my children. Joseph was a symbol of the dominion that the children of my divine will would have, just as he did not let many people, as he did not let many peoples, he and also his ungrateful brothers perish of starvation. We're going to be fed. There's nothing to worry about. So shall the children of the divine will have dominion and be the ones who shall not let the peoples perish. Jesus said to Louisa, oil will come from your body, Louisa, to soothe Jesus. And then he says, and oil will come from the children of the divine will to soothe my church in the world. That's us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. They shall not let the peoples perish that shall ask for the bread, the first bread of my divine will. Moses was the image of the power. Samson, the symbol of strength of the children of my divine will. David was a symbolized the reigning of them. All the prophets symbolized the grace, the communications, the intimacies with God, that more than they did, the children of my divine fiat would possess. You haven't seen anything yet. See, all these were just but symbols, images of them. And what shall happen when the lives of these symbols shall come out? After all these came the celestial lady, Mary, the sovereign empress, the immaculate, the spotless, my mother. She was not a symbol or an image, but the reality, the true life, the first privileged daughter of my divine will, and the queen of heaven. I looked at the generations of the children of my kingdom. She, Mary, was the first incomparable creature who possessed intact the life of the supreme volition, and therefore she deserved to conceive the eternal word, Jesus, and to mature within her maternal heart the generation of the children of the eternal fiat. That's us. And then came my very life in which the kingdom was established that these fortunate children were to possess. And from all this, you can comprehend the primary purpose of everything that God did from the beginning of the creation of the world, and that he does and shall do, is to form the kingdom of his will in the midst of creatures. These are our, this is the triune God's aims. This is our, the triune God's will. To these children shall all of our triune God's goods, our triune God's prerogatives, our triune God's likenesses be given to. And if I call you to follow all these acts that my divine will has done, both in the creation of the universe and in the generation of creatures, not excluding either those that did it in my celestial mother or those that did it in my very life. It is to centralize all of its acts in you, Louisa, to give these gifts to you, Louisa, as gift, so as to be able to release from you, Louisa, altogether, the goods that the divine will can possess, in order to form the kingdom of the eternal fiat with decorum and honor and glory. Therefore, be attentive in following my divine will. So we'll end with that, and Mass will be in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.